I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What is in the way of your walk right now? It's a good question. Keep that in the back of your mind. I love this message last week, which is where we're picking up here. Last week, we heard how Jesus likes to lead us through some scary places because being made new means that we have to leave the life we know, and we fear the foreign. And as long as we're afraid to make that trade, sanctifying can be terrifying. That is an unfortunate truth, but as Bruce pointed out last week, that is great news to be scared. Yay, that's wonderful. Because once fear gets our attention, it opens us up to his help, and it fills us with trust in his ways, and it encourages us to follow his lead. It just naturally does. That's what fear accomplishes. Which is why Jesus himself doesn't mind making death threats to scare us straight. Remember this? Like when he bluntly warned everyone, you included, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. And furthermore, take up their cross and follow me. And let me ask you this, where do you take a cross? To death. That's where you're going if you're following him. So it might be scary, but for him to get us and open us and fill us and encourage us, we need to know that something's gonna kill us. Because, as we heard, the path that leads us to life passes through suffering and death. Okay? Real upper of a message, right? Hooray! We're all gonna die! But in addition to all of that fruitful fear that death produces, there's another reason why we have to die. And here it is, very simple. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Bing, there you go. Do you get it? You can't plant a new tree with a seed that is still living on an old branch, right? It's stuck in the apple. It's on the branch. It's got to leave the tree to achieve its full potential, to go be planted and live its own life. Because there's no new life while attached to the old one. And we gotta give up the way we live in this world the exact same way that a seed's gotta give up the way that it lives on a tree, okay? And though our worldly ways do supply the physical needs for our physical life that we need down here, as long as we're attached to them, God can't grow us into what he wants us to be apart from them. Because, you see, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, well, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. It's very fruitful. So anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it to eternal life, even. So It's one of those that's a little bit of a tricky scripture to follow, but when you hear it, it's just very clear. We have to walk away from the ways of our worldly life down here to grow into our eternal life up there. And nothing could be more terrifying than that, right? Because it means having the courage. You gotta have the courage to cut off all of the comfort of your old ways down here. Everything that makes you comfortable right now. It means betting this entire life on God's promise for a better life. It means letting go of everything that you know to grab hold of everything that you hope for. Because when it comes to a perfect life that is just full of your fullest potential, it is all or nothing, period, right? And when the ways of this world stand in the way of, you know, your eternal life, hate doesn't seem like such a strong word. It's funny, that's what we get tripped up on that. You got to hate your world and hate your life in this world. Well, yeah, if it's the thing holding you back. For we know that if this earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, right, we die down here, we have a building from God, an eternal house up there in heaven, not built with human hands, but true as that is. Meanwhile, we groan. We groan down here longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling up there. We can't live up there while we're down here. And as we grow closer to God spiritually, right, you start to really, that relationship grows. We start dying to grow closer to him physically. I want to go home. Paul has a whole discussion about this. It would be better for me to go there, but I got to stick around here for now. But that's us. That change that happens in us when we start really seeing that's where we want to go and this place is holding us back, that changes how we see our relationship down here with this life. And it's obvious why. Don't you know that friendship with the world down here means enmity against God? Right? You can't not both, right? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of this world and the ways down here becomes an enemy of God. You can't love it down here. You love it up there. And that makes it very clear that you have to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires for this worldly life down here, to be made new in the attitude of your mind so that we can put on the new self up there, created to be like God up there, to live an eternal life up there. So if our worldly ways are the obstacles to an eternal life, what do we do then, right? Like, well, this place is where I'm at right now. I got to live this life. Okay, well, then be very careful. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Know where you're going. Know, have your priorities straight, right? And how do we do that? How do we live as wise? Well, you be filled with the Spirit. Period. That's it. Because we'll instinctually, this is true of everything, we'll instinctually follow the lead of whoever fills our heart, right? That's our heart's desire. We chase it down. So I say, walk by the Spirit, right? Fill with that Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Right? It's one or the other. If you're walking by the Spirit, you're not walking by the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And if you stay attached to those old ways down here and live according to the sinful nature of your flesh down here, you will die. Because you never will have grown your own life apart. You'll just be attached to this place and go down with the ship. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body and the flesh down here, guess what? You will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. So, okay, did you catch that? This is another one of those good news, bad news points here. Being led by the Spirit means our misdeeds are put to death by the Spirit. All right, so I want you to hear something that we don't really seem to say a whole lot in the church in general here, but all of the purifying work of the Holy Spirit comes from two simple steps, filling and killing, all right? Filling and killing, because it's got to be out with the old before it can be in with the new. You got to empty it out to fill it up. That's just, you know, physics. That's how it works. And just like any other walk, right, that has two steps, one step naturally just leads to the other step. Because as we fill with his will to follow his lead, inevitably, without trying, we kill our old ways to live a new life. And when we do that, well, that makes more room so that we can have more filling. And when we're filled more, he does more killing of the old ways. And it's an on and on and on it goes until we got nothing left. We're completely emptied out, cleared out. All the old ways are killed off. And we are filled with his ways and his Spirit, and we reach our full potential. Because those two steps, back and forth, are just like any other walk. The more you take those two steps, the further you'll go. And it's always the same trade at work in our spiritual journey, where it's like one replaces the other. One goes up, one goes down. He must become greater, right? We know that's true. So inevitably, without trying, well, I must become less. And those who love the Lord, right? If you love him, if you take that step forward and I love the Lord, well, you'll naturally just grow to hate evil. Other side of that coin. However, to actually take that first step and turn from evil and thereby naturally do some good, well, we have to put the process in motion. We got to start it. And we start it when we take the action to actually seek peace and pursue it. Chase it down. You got to start it off. And that first step is a doozy, I'll tell you. Because once we know, this is the thing, you don't get to not know anymore. I'm sorry, this is how it works. If you didn't know this already, it's what we call mortification of the flesh. The Spirit filling, as soon as we learn that the Spirit filling us means the Spirit is going to be killing us, well, the threat of death can hold us back from leaving our old life. When you start to realize, I sign up for all the good stuff, this sounds great, I'm on board, let's follow the Lord. And then they say, okay, great, that means you're going to have to leave all this stuff. And you say, ooh, all of it? Like, I want to keep some of it with me. And that's hard. And when we have that attitude, we'll stop before we start. Because we'll be wondering and worrying about which old ways we have to leave for these unknown new ones. Are you sure I can't still do that? No, you're doing wherever the Lord's taking you. And that's hard for us because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Oh, that's the truth. So if we know that about ourselves, right? We're weak. We want to hold on to some of this old stuff. So how do we motivate our flesh to take that action, to take that first step? Well, I'll tell you, George MacDonald, old author here, has got a great little pep talk to help with that first step of our walk. You ready for it? So easy. Well, he says, okay, you will be dead so long as you refuse to die. Anyone up for dying now? The threat of death to make you want to die? I mean, that's just so, isn't that nice? It's just such a sweet little, put it on a pillow, right? Embroider it and, you know, you will be dead so long as you refuse to die. It sounds, you know, more morose than it really is, because it is actually a little sweet reminder that you're already doomed. You're already doomed if you don't walk away from all your old ways, because everything down here dies. You can go down with the ship if you want, but why? Because it also means this. It also means you've got nothing to lose down here and everything to gain by just trusting God's truth and taking a step out in faith. So remember that whenever you're on the fence, remember that down here, we only ever have two options. One, stay where you are and just wait to die, because that's what happens down here. Or two, leave it behind and go looking for life. And so granted, they're both like scary, right? But since fear is a part of both options, why not see where the path with hope actually takes you, right? Lesser of two scares. It's just both of them have the fear of death. Why not go to the one that says there's hope after death? And I'll tell you, old MacDonald here made that point in a much softer way. That was for you, Thad. Old George MacDonald made that point in a softer way when he wrote this children's fantasy novel called The Princess and the Goblin. Has anyone ever read this? Oh my goodness, it's so great. The Princess and the Goblin. In this book, an 8-year-old princess named Irene discovers an attic room. This seems to happen a lot in old stories. C.S. Lewis has always got an attic where magical things are happening. Check your attics, folks. But this Princess Irene discovers an attic room where her fairy grandmother, appears from time to time, just randomly. And so when Irene wants a way to stay more consistently connected so that she can see her, you know, whenever she wants, Grammy gives her a ring attached to a ball of string that Grandma keeps. And Irene says, but I can't see it. And Grandma says, well, the thread is too fine for you to see it. You can't see it. You can only feel it as it goes along. So Irene tests it, and sure enough, it works. She can feel it. You can't see it, but she can feel it. Now listen, says her grandmother, if you ever find yourself in any danger, put the ring under your pillow and then just follow the thread wherever it leads. And she says, oh, how delightful, of course, it'll lead me right to you. Yes, says Grandma, but remember, it may seem to you a very roundabout way indeed, but you must not doubt the thread, because of one thing you may be sure. Whether you hold your end or not, I am always holding mine. And so later on, little Irene hears a group of goblins break into her house. We've all been there, right? A group of goblins breaking into her house. So she remembers this is the danger. So she secures her ring under her pillow and begins to follow the thread along, knowing that it's going to lead her to Grandma and to safety. But to her dismay, it takes her outside You know, this is, I don't want to go this way. Takes her outside and straight toward the goblin's dark cave. But still, she trusts. And so she follows, and she just keeps feeling her way along. And after the thread actually leads her inside the cave, it takes her through a series of confusing passages and then right smack into a wall of stones, a dead end. So, well, she thinks, at least I have the string to guide me back out, right? I can Hansel and Gretel it, kind of find a way out of here. But when she tries to follow it backwards, strangest thing happens. She loses its feeling. She can't feel it anymore, and she realizes, uh-oh, the thread can only be felt forward. So she bursts into tears. She's alone and afraid, and eventually she has to come to grips with her only option. She has to find her way, feel her way forward through this wall. So this small and scared 8-year-old child summons all of the strength that she has, you know, tears flowing and everything, and starts to tear down the wall stone by stone. And though her fingers are bleeding and she's alone and scared, she pulls and pulls when suddenly she hears a familiar voice. It's Irene's good friend, Curdy, who had apparently been imprisoned in the goblin's dark cave. And astounded, he asks, "However did you come here?" And Irene replies that for some reason her grandmother had sent her here on this path. "And now I found out why," she says. So as her friend is freed, he heads out, but Irene heads in. "Where are you going? That's where I couldn't get out," he says. "I know," she says, "but this is the way that my thread goes, and I must follow it." And so she does, and as she does, she eventually escapes to prove that the thread is trustworthy because the one who gave it is trustworthy also. So all that to say, is that how you feel about where the Lord is leading you right now? Think about that. Is that the relationship that you have? Because that right there, that is the goal. That is what we are aiming for. Once we actually believe that he is trustworthy, that he's holding the other end of our thread, even an 8-year-old girl has the courage to walk through certain death and come out alive. And when you start to feel the fear, right, just like she did, when you hit your own walls, when you start to feel that fear, don't forget God gave us a lifeline that is just as reliable as Irene's string. Our thread is God's word. That's why he gave it to us. It's it. We know this. He promises it lights up every scary place his spirit is ever going to lead us, because we're told your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. It tells you where to go and how. His word shows us the way to our life. So to fearlessly follow his ways, we need to fully fill with his word. I mean, we just have to do it. That is a big part of our walk. You can't go back. You got to keep going forward. You got to fill. And when you're doing that, when you're following him through his word, when you're filling with his word, just like Irene, we better anticipate an adventure. Because just like the thread that led Irene through some painful obstacles that she had to overcome, scripture can sting while it saves. All right, it is full of convicting, painful things. It does give us the lines that lead us to the Lord, but it confuses and convicts before it comforts. All right, again, so much good news this morning, right? But this is it. I mean, this is a church about the truth, not about making us comfortable. And the scripture itself, God's word can confuse and convict before it comforts us. Know that, and that's okay. That's good. That's how it's supposed to work. Because to fill us with his will while he kills off our old ways, God's word actually pulls double duty as both his, you know, faithful way, the string, the thread to follow forward, and as a fearful weapon. Because we're told straight out, the sword of the Spirit is what he uses, which is the word of God. Because when we walk according to God's word, right, when we put it in here and we try to live it out there, We're not just led to our ultimate destination. We're trimmed and transformed to survive once we arrive. Thank the Lord. It turns out when we follow his thread through his word, it challenges and changes us in both profound and painful ways, but always with a purpose. All that killing and filling is meant to prune and prepare us to live our new life. It's actually equipping us to do it. And despite the pain along the way, in the end, it is always, always worth it. That is a promise. If you want to see, I mean, Irene's journey, think about this. This is a way to see this. This is what the moral of the story is. Irene's journey killed off a sheltered, scared, and helpless child to produce a bold, brave, and wise princess. You know, that's why she came out on the other side with so resolute and strong and powerful and faithful, because she had gone through that and she was able to rule the kingdom when it came her time. And likewise, the humble, confident, and faithful royalty that you are meant to be up there cannot come to life until the selfish, scared, and skeptical you gets put down here. Because those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh down here with its passions and desires down here. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, no matter how scary it is. And I tell you, you know this, it can feel like God may be leading you down dark paths to dead ends in your life. But trust this, the ultimate destination is always right into his arms. And if we just keep following forward, we get to prove it. When we get to live there, we make it home into his arms. All we have to do is just know that God is trustworthy. Amen?
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Know that. And then keep taking things just one step at a time, fully believing that the places where we're frozen by fear are just temporary. You know, it's just a part of the journey. It is never the end. We're going to be able to push through, because I want you to remember this. Jesus wasn't led to the cross. He was led through the cross.
Good.
And likewise, the Spirit does not lead us to death. He leads us through death to life. Amen? Read this one with me. The Spirit doesn't lead us to death. He leads us through death to life. L'chaim. I mean, that is the truth right there. Remember that wherever you're at, when you feel like you're going down a dead, you've hit a dead end, you're in a dark corner of your life somehow, part of the process, just a pit stop on the path. That's it. Oh boy, because just like everything else that God grows, every one of his children does not come to life unless it dies. It's just part of the process. So, no, carrying our cross is no walk in the park. That is for sure. It's a walk of faith. And it's an exercise in love. It's what needs to happen for God to get us and open us and fill us and encourage us to let go of our old life and grab hold of the life that we have always dreamed of. And because he knows how hard that can be to let go, he promises to walk with us every single step of the way, to push us through every single obstacle we encounter. So, to ask again, what's in the way of your walk? Who cares? It doesn't matter, because when the Lord is leading you, oh boy, if you just let the Lord lead you, and if you can summon the strength to just put one foot in front of the other, even death itself can't keep you from life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, oh boy, we sure do love you, and we follow your lead because we believe and have seen how trustworthy you truly are. Holy Spirit, we ask that you encourage us to feel our way forward as we let go and let you prune and prepare us for that new life that you've promised. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for enduring the pain of our path to prove to us that even in death, your love always leads to life. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.